We're in week number two, glory to God. Well, actually, we're still in our series concerning the kingdom of God / kingdom of heaven, amen. And we understand how important it is that we understand both used interchangeably, but because we're in the kingdom era, because we're in the kingdom of God, we need to know how it operates. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. We're in week number two of our lessons entitled In the Kingdom or In Kingdom Living. Say In Kingdom Living or in the Kingdom Lifestyle. Say Kingdom Lifestyle. Our faith will be tried. In the Kingdom Lifestyle. Say Kingdom Lifestyle. The Kingdom Lifestyle is a lifestyle of faith. Somebody say faith. Somebody say faith. Faith in God, His ability to do, and faith in His word. Somebody say amen. So in this kingdom lifestyle in which we live, this lifestyle of faith, our faith will be tried. Say it'll be tried. Somebody say it'll be tested. Say tested. It'll be scrutinized to see what is worth. Somebody say amen. To see what is worth. Somebody say amen. Let's start today by defining the word tried again. Somebody say tried. The word tried, we have three definitions for the word tried. The word tried is defined as one, somebody say one, to be put to the test or to be examined. As for the quality or give experimental use to or to try out. Somebody say amen. Again, it's to be put to the test, that is to examine. As for the quality or give experimental use to. That means basically to try it out. Somebody say amen. Number two, we define the term tried as proven to be useful or correct. Proven to be useful or correct. And number three, we define the word trial as tested and proved good, dependable, or trustworthy. Somebody say amen. Is your faith trustworthy this morning? Somebody say amen. Not only are you dependable upon your own faith to get you to places that God desires you to go, but other people are dependent upon your faith to, in a lot of cases, intercede for them. Somebody say amen. So is your faith dependable? Somebody say amen. Last week we looked at point number one. Point number one simply says, our faith cannot be tried or tested unless it experiences attack. Our faith cannot be tried or tested unless it experiences attack. Somebody say amen. We know who attacks our faith. Somebody say amen. We know that it's the enemy that's trying to get us to go against the will of God for our lives. Amen. So he does that by attacking our faith. See, attacking our faith. We said last week that we ought to see every hardship. Every sickness and disease, say sickness and disease, as a test of our faith. Are we going to trust God in that sickness and disease, in those hardships? Or are we going to trust self or the devil? Somebody say amen. We told you last week that there's always a way of escape when we're being tested. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, and the way of escape is one to do what? Submit to God, and what else? Resist the devil. Somebody say amen. The way of escape is to stand steadfast. Somebody say steadfast in our faith. Somebody say amen. Now, you can submit to the devil and resist God. Somebody say amen. And the faith will go on and on. The faith test will go on and on and on. Somebody say amen. So we need to learn. Somebody say learn to submit to God in our faith test. The hardships, the sickness, the diseases, and all those things happening in our lives, we need to learn to submit to God. Somebody say amen. I think what I'm getting ready to say bears repeating, amen. I said it last week, say last week. When we know that God's will for us is healing, somebody say healing, we ought not to always assume that we know how he's going to do it. Can I say that again? We ought not to always assume that we know how he's going to bring healing in our lives. In Jesus' teaching, in his ministry, we saw instantaneous healing. Say instantaneous. Well, immediately the people were healed. Somebody say amen. We also saw progressive healing. Say progressive healing. Something in a lot of cases had to be done. And as you went along doing those things that Jesus, glory to God, intended for us to do, guess what? Healing ensued. Somebody say ensued. So there is instantaneous healing from God, which happens immediately. Somebody say amen. And then there's progressive healing from God. Somebody say amen. Now, I think all healing is of God, no matter how it comes. Somebody say amen. But we need to know exactly how he's going to do that thing when he tells us that he's going to do it. Somebody say amen. We believe that his will for our life is healing. Say healing. Somebody say healing. Now, there's a perfect healing. A lot of folks don't want to go through the perfect healing, amen, because perfect healing has to do with taking us on out of here, being in the perfect presence of God, amen. But we also believe that according to the scripture, the Bible says, I think it's in Luke chapter 18, verse 27, we don't need to go there, just remember it, that the things that are impossible with man is possible with God. Somebody say amen. So we take away from that there are possibilities with man. Somebody say possibilities with man. There are some things that man can do to help facilitate our healing in the earth realm. Somebody say amen. So when sickness and disease come, you know that the will of God is healing. Lord, how do you want my healing to come? Are you going to do it instantaneously as I ask you to do it? Somebody say amen. Or do I need to go through the process of medicine being practiced in the earth realm? Somebody say amen. Every now and then you'll hear, go to the doctor. Somebody say, go to the doctor. For two reasons. One, I've given doctors ability. I gave it to them whether they accept it from me or not. Somebody say amen. Because I gave them their intellect that they use to practice medicine. Somebody say amen. He might want you to go to the doctor because he might want to stay on the doctors. Or he might want to show you, somebody say, show me, that I can heal through the doctors. Amen. I need you to really embrace what I'm getting ready to say now. God can heal through chemotherapy. God can heal through, what's that other one they do? Radiation therapy. God can heal through any medical treatment, any medical process. Somebody say amen. So if he tells you to go to the doctor, don't hesitate. Get on over there and let the doctors do what God have equipped them to do to bring your healing in the earth realm. Somebody say amen. I told you how I do it. Now, if it takes God too long to answer, he might have to stop me once I get over to the doctor's office. Somebody say amen. How do you want to do this, Lord? And I don't hear nothing. And it might not be because of him. It might be because of where I am. Somebody say amen. I don't hear nothing. I go to the doctor because I believe in life. Somebody say life. Somebody played me a compliment one time. They didn't even know it. They said, you quick to go to the doctor and get something fixed. Yeah, I am, because I want to live. Somebody say live. God has promised me long life. Somebody say long life. Somebody say long life. I want to be around here to see my great-great-grandchildren. And I don't even have a great one yet. Somebody say amen. I want to be around here for a while. Somebody say amen. So I believe in living. And I believe that God can do to the doctors whatever he wants to do as it relates to my healing. As a matter of fact, when I go to the doctor, I put the doctor in the Lord's hand. I put the procedure in the Lord's hand. I put all of it in the Lord's hand. And I say, Lord, make it all successful through this process. So you need to know. Somebody say, I need to know how God want to bring healing in your life. It makes no sense for us to sit up broken. It makes no sense for us to sit up broken in any area of our lives when wholeness is available. You know, you might be thinking physical, but I'm thinking mental and physical. It makes no sense for our mental health to be impaired, say impaired, or dysfunctional, say dysfunctional. You do know when your mental health is off, that's dysfunction of the mind. Somebody say amen. It makes no sense for our mental health or physical health to be dysfunctional or malfunctioning when God has given man the ability to help us through, move us from brokenness to wholeness. Say, from brokenness to wholeness. It makes no sense for you to sit up thinking about killing yourself, ending it all, offering yourself, all that kind of stuff, when God has made treatments available to bring us out of those states of depression. Somebody say amen. Now, God can change it instantaneously, but he don't always do it that way. Oftentimes, he wants us to learn about process. Somebody say process. I'm of this persuasion. I'm convinced of this. Any way the Lord's blessed me, I'll be satisfied. Any way he makes me whole, I'll be satisfied. If he called me before the altar and some preacher greases me up and lays hands on me and I fall all out on the floor, but I wake up whole, I'm satisfied with that. Somebody say amen. If some preacher touched me and I'm still standing, or some layman touched me and I'm still standing, if he brings healing that way, I'm satisfied. If he tells me to go to the doctor and take all the chemotherapy treatments, all the radiation treatments, if he desires to bless me that way, I'm satisfied. I know of some testimonies. I know one testimony in particular. My pastor, and he's made it known, so I can talk about it. Somebody say talk about it. When he had his cancer scare, somebody say cancer scare, he was of the belief that faith would prevent it from happening. But once he found out that he needed faith to get his healing through that situation, amen, he trusted God. God brought him through, and now he is as whole can be, amen. I remember when Frederick Casey Price used to teach teachings that was sort of not quite right. Somebody say amen. And we go through our growing stages. Somebody say amen. He used to teach that if you got sick, got a disease, you must be in sin. Somebody say in sin. His wife got cancer. And she was in no sin. So he had to learn another aspect of God, if you will. Guess what? God healed her through treatment. Somebody say through treatment. She's still here, and he's with the Lord. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. So we need to understand from God, how about this thing about healing? How are you going to bring it to me? And we don't need to leave nothing to chance. Somebody say nothing to chance. Somebody say nothing to chance. We need to learn to ask the Lord, Lord, how you want to do this thing? Lord, how you want to do this thing? What's your choice in this, Lord? You know his will is his choice, right? What's your choice in this thing, Lord? How you want me to do this? And however he tells you to get it done, that's what you need to do. I've even known folks to get healed through taking medicine every day. They took their medicine until such time as they heard from the Lord, you're whole now, you don't need to take it anymore. Somebody say amen. So we need to, can I say relationship? Can I say relationship again? If we're in relationship with God, we don't need to hesitate asking him things. I know we were taught in the old church, if I say in the old church, you just don't question God. You don't question God. You don't question God. Look, you can question God. And I've taught you this since I've been your pastor, almost 25 years. Somebody say amen. You can ask God whatever you want to ask. Yeah, you can. But you need to be ready for his answers. Can I really be transparent this morning? I was in a place one night on my way to work. I was so mad. I don't know whether I was angry with the Lord or just angry with the situation. I was praying, and every other word in prayer was a profane word. I'm still alive. God didn't strike me down. And guess what? He answered my prayer even in that. Somebody say amen. Can you say relationship? If you're not talking to the Lord, you need to learn how to talk to him. And can I help you? You don't need to do all the talking. Somebody say all the talking. And somebody say he gave us one mouth to talk less and two ears to hear more. Somebody say amen. So we need to talk some, but we need to let the Lord talk some too. Somebody say amen. He speaks. Somebody say amen. One thing he was trying to teach Abraham in his training when he told Abraham to take his son to the mountain and sacrifice him. He was trying to train him how to hear his voice and trying to make sure that he understood how to hear his voice and when he was speaking. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. So he speaks. Not only does God the Father speak, but God the Son speaks too. Somebody say amen. And then we got the Holy Ghost who's living on the inside of us who's talking all the time. Somebody say amen. But we need to learn to train ourselves to listen. Somebody say listen. I know I'm going on and on and on with this. I'm going to get to point number two in just a few minutes, but I'm doing what the Holy Spirit is leading me to do. Sometime in my prayer time, I have early morning prayer time. And it's still hot in here, I'm telling y'all, amen. I have early morning prayer time, which means it's time for us to cool off the place, make it somewhat like heaven by turning on the air conditioning. Somebody say amen. Turn it on in the back. Don't turn it on directly on me. Somebody say amen. Because I'm a little wet now. Somebody say amen. We need to learn. I was saying I have early morning. Somebody say early morning. Somebody say early morning prayer time. I don't always do all the talking. Sometimes I just sit still. This deal, and I listen to, when I start hearing crazy stuff, I know it's either my flesh or the devil. I say, in Jesus' name, amen. It's time for me to move. Somebody say, get up. Because I'm not there to hear the voice of myself or my flesh, nor Satan. I'm there to hear the voice of the Lord. Somebody say, amen. So when I'm quiet listening for the Lord's voice, if it's anybody other than the Lord, I end that prayer time. Somebody say, amen. And at another time, we'll sit down again and listen for his voice. Again, it's important that we know how to hear his voice. Somebody say amen. It's important that we know how he speaks or and when he speaks through his words, because he's talking either audibly or through the written word. You need to know what it looks like. Somebody say what it looks like when he speaks to you through his word. I've learned. Somebody say learn. And I'm just being a testimony. It's not about exhortation at all. Somebody say amen. I've learned to listen for his voice in every verse. In every verse. I'm looking here. I've learned, glory to God, I've learned to listen for his voice in the introductory to the chapter. Because he can speak there too. As a matter of fact, last week he gave me a whole message from the introductory of the chapter. Somebody say amen, that you're going to get at some time. So I've learned to listen for his voice even when I'm reading books, even when I'm reading extra biblical material. If I was still reading the newspaper, I would be listening for his voice when I read the newspaper, because he can speak anywhere, anytime. Somebody say amen. My ears need to be in tune to his voice, or my spirit need to be in tune to his convicting in me. Am I talking to you right now? Y'all don't want to talk about relationships. Y'all want to talk about hearing the voice of the Lord. It's important. How are you going to know when he's directing you unless, one, you get a conviction in your spirit, you can hear his voice, or you know how he speaks to you through the word? Because you can pray all day long, in all your ways, Lord, direct me. Glory to God. I'm going to acknowledge you. You'll direct my path. If you don't know how he's directing you, how are you going to know which path to take? Well, Lord, I'm going to turn left, and I believe as you telling me to turn left. Pow, you have a wreck. Was that him? I don't know. He might have been trying to slow you down. I don't know. Somebody say amen. But we need to know how he speaks to us. Because if you're going to ask him, Lord, what route do I need to take in this healing? Am I talking too long? You need to know how he's going to tell you which route to take. Man, and I hopefully this is the last point. As it relates to me, I was in the doctor's office one day. And the doctor told me, he was a surgeon, you know, they like to do surgery, they like to cut. Somebody said, cut. The surgeon told me, I need to do that big operation on you. I said, what big operation? So he told me what the big operation is. Immediately, I heard the Holy Spirit say in my spirit, no. No. And he didn't do that big operation because you know what I told him? No. Now, I had to go back again for the same pain, and he told me he was going to do a lesser operation. He was going to clean up some stuff. I ain't hear the Holy Spirit say nothing on that one, so I said, you can do that one. Somebody say amen. We need to learn how to hear the voice of the Lord, because you might be getting some unnecessary stuff. Somebody say unnecessary stuff, or stuff you don't know or necessarily need. How come I have to say this stuff, Lord? Because you say so, I'll say it. We're not in a religious walk. We're not legalists. We don't assume that we know everything that the Lord wants us to do based upon what we know from Scripture. Because you can know a whole lot of Scripture. I can know a whole lot of Scripture, but still don't know which direction he wants me to take. Now, the advantage to knowing Scripture is this. He can tell you to go to the Scripture and then give you the answer. But even in that, you got to learn or know how he speaks to you. Somebody say amen. So point number one says this. In order for our faith to be tried, it has to undergo or experience attack. Somebody say attack. Somebody say attack. That enemy is out there trying to hurt us, kill, steal, and destroy. The Bible calls him the tempter. Somebody say tempter, which means he's the one who's bringing the test. He tempted Jesus. Somebody say he tempted Jesus. And Jesus was up on his game. Say up on his game. Jesus said, it is written. It is written. Somebody say it is written. He knew what the word said and he stood on it. Somebody say amen. We got to get to the point where we know what the word says and stand on it when we are tempted by the enemy. Somebody say amen. Point number two, y'all all right? If something else you want me to say about that, Lord, I'll say it. Amen. Point number two. Somebody say point number two. Here's point number two. We cannot, and this is part two of this lesson, we cannot know the quality of our faith. Say the quality of our faith. Unless it's tested or tried. You can't know whether it's fake, real, or growing. You can't know whether it's fake, real, or growing. We can't know whether it's fake, real, or growing unless it's tested. We can't know whether or not it's sustaining faith or unsustaining faith unless it's tested. We can't know what kind of faith we have unless it's tested. Unless it's put through the test. Somebody say put through the test. We don't know the genuineness of it unless it's tested. Somebody say it's tested. Pastor, I don't want to go through all that testing stuff. Well, you're in the wrong place. Because being a part of the kingdom, your faith is going to be tested. Your faith is going to be on trial so somebody else can learn from your faith. Your faith is going to be on trial, somebody say trial, so that we can learn the quality of our faith. Do I need to grow in this area of faith? Or am I all right in this area of faith? It's going to be tested so that the quality of our faith can be revealed. Somebody say revealed to us. Let me give you a good definition of the word quality. Somebody say quality. Quality means a degree or grade. Somebody say a degree or grade. Equaling caliber. Somebody say caliber. Can you say caliber? We won't know the caliber of our faith, glory to God, unless it's tested. Somebody say tested. Well, Pastor, my faith is great. It might be great. Somebody say great, but it might not be. We saw little faith, no faith, great faith, all of this in Jesus' teaching, amen. So we need to understand where our faith is in Christ. Don't assume that it's great because you've been walking with the Lord for a while. Because you could have been flunking tests left and right. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. I've been walking with the Lord 32 years. I know my faith is great. Your faith might not be great. And if you don't understand the power of the word, somebody say power of the word, your faith might not be great. Your faith might be in wanting or it needs to grow some more. Somebody say amen. So when our faith is tested, the quality or the caliber of our faith is revealed. Or we can say it this way, the genuineness of our faith is revealed. 1 Peter chapter 1, let's put some proof on this. Somebody say amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 7. 1 Peter, thank you, Lord, chapter 1, verses 6 through 7. I need the New Living Translation today, sweetheart, if you don't mind. Somebody say amen. So Peter writes, so be what? Look up. Somebody say look up. Be what? Somebody say truly glad. Truly glad about what? Well, truly glad about the fact that he made a promise about two or three verses prior to that. Somebody said two or three verses prior. And the promise is that heaven belonged to the saints. Somebody said belonged to me. Somebody said, belong to me. So be truly glad that your place in heaven is undefiled, incorruptible, reserved right there just for you. It's waiting on you to get there at some point. Somebody say amen. But until you get there, we're going to go through some changes. Somebody said through some changes. So he says, so be truly glad. There is a wonderful joy ahead. Even though you have to do what? So can you say many? Somebody say many. It didn't say one. It didn't say two. But it said many. What does many mean? Somebody say many, a lot. Somebody say very. Somebody say sorted or sorted. Somebody say assorted. Somebody say amen. He says, you got joy ahead even though you have to what? Endure many trials. Endure carries a connotation there of going through. Somebody say going through. Many trials for how long? Somebody say for a little while. So in between the present and heaven, we're going to go through some things. In between our wait from here to heaven, and you know you got to transition to heaven. Somebody say amen, unless Jesus come back first. So in between now and dying, say dying, or transitioning, say transitioning, our faith is going to go through some stuff. If you read the history, the background of this particular group that Jesus is writing to, or not Jesus, but Peter is writing to, which is Jesus, Peter's writing to, they're Jews. Somebody say Jews. And they're suffering some persecution at this point. When we go over to the book of James in a little while, you're going to understand that they're going through some changes because they're Jews too. Somebody said they're not going through because they're Jews. They're going through because they're saints. And we go through suffering being saints. Okay. I know we went through the teaching some years ago that saints don't suffer. Saints, somebody said saints don't suffer. Can I tell you something? That's a lie. Saints do suffer. Did you have a headache last week? How are your legs doing? How your feet doing? How your back doing? Isn't that some kind of suffering? Saints do go through suffering. This body going to go through suffering because it's temporary. And just like you have to renovate your house sometimes, this body needs some renovation. Somebody say amen. So saints are going to suffer. Somebody say amen. Jesus said we're going to suffer for righteousness' sake. We'll be persecuted for righteousness. If you're doing the right thing, according to Jesus, stand against what? You're going to go through some persecution. Somebody's going to say, I'm getting so tired of that self-righteous. You're not self-righteous. You're just doing what God says to do. Somebody say amen. So we're going to suffer. Somebody say suffer. Until we get to heaven, we're going to suffer. Somebody say suffer. So he says, there's wonderful joy ahead, even though you have to endure many trials, say many trials, for a little while. So if I gotta endure many trials for a little while, why do I have to endure them, Pastor? Well, here's the answer, verse number 7. Are y'all all right? These trials will show what? So during these trials, you're gonna find out the genuineness of your faith. I'm gonna find out the genuineness of my faith. Do I really trust God? Do I really trust him to do what he says he's going to do? Do I really trust his word or do I trust me and the day of a more? Somebody say amen. So as we go through these different trials, every hardship should be considered a test of your faith. Every sickness and disease should be considered a test of your faith. As we go through these things, we're gonna learn who we really trust. The genuineness of our faith is going to be revealed. Is this making sense to you? This is not what you came to hear today, is you wanted to shout. No, what you need to know is truth. Somebody say truth. Somebody say truth. You need to know why you're going through these things. For me, they used to come bam, 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 bam. I used to be out of line because I was believing in the teaching that says that we weren't supposed to suffer. Why me, Lord? Why me, Lord? Why me, Lord? And then I heard the Lord say, why not you? And I stopped asking it. I start connecting myself to the scriptures more so that I can understand why was I going through this. My faith was being refined. The genuineness of my faith was being revealed. And I'm still learning. So he's still learning. 32 years, how old is Matthew? 34 years into this. And I'm still learning. Somebody say still learning. I'm still learning that my faith is weak in some areas. it needs to grow. Every time I give in, you ain't going to like this one. I'm going to tell you right off the bat. You're not going to like this. Say, I'm not going to like this, Pastor. I'm telling you, you're not going to like this. I'm saying, and I'm telling you in advance, you're not going to like it, because every time you give in to your immoralities, your faith is failed. Every time I give in to mine, my faith just failed. I'm trusting in the immorality more than I'm trusting in God. Because God tells us not to do certain things. Or he tells us not to walk in the works of the flesh. Y'all read in the New Testament? I've been here 25 years. I know you've heard it 30 times. Every time we give in to immorality, our faith just fails. Because we're trusting in something else more than we're trusting in God. I thought you wasn't going to like it. But it applies to me just like it applies to you. I have to learn to grow in that area too. I have to learn to put the flesh under subjection, because the flesh wants something that God don't want me to want. And every time I give in to his wishes, I'm not giving in to God's wishes. It's simple. Every time I cuss you out, in your face or behind your back, I just gave in to my flesh. I didn't give in to the will of God. God told me that I'm supposed to speak things to you that edifies you in your presence and out of your presence. So when I gave into my flesh and I cussed you out in or out of your presence, guess what happened? I flunked the test. Okay, y'all don't. I told you you wasn't going to like it, because it's simple. Somebody say it's simple. Somebody say it's simple. Every time I choose death over life, guess what I just did? I flunked the test. Because God says for me to choose life. And if you don't know what life looks like, I need to give you another lesson. Somebody say amen. Every time I choose death over life, or choose evil according or opposed to good, I just flunked the test. That's how simple it is. Don't let me get to bigger things. We need to start with small things first and strengthen our faith in those areas. Well, God made provisions for my sin, and he did, but he didn't intend for us to just keep going on and on and on and on and on and on in immorality. He desires for us to grow out of that too. Somebody say amen. So every time I give into my immorality, let me just talk about me, because y'all don't like me talking about y'all. Every time I give into, and I have them. Every time I get into gluttony. Somebody say gluttony. I just flunked the test. Every time I get into greed, I just flunked the test. I need to grow in that area. I can't have everything that my little eyes want. I can't have everything that my little eyes see. Now, there's a place for prosperity. Somebody say amen. Every time you don't let your heart convict you that you need to give something to God, just something to God, we just flunk the faith test. Because Jesus said, give in what? And somebody going to tell me, well, Pastor, he's talking about more than money. He is talking about more than money, because we need to give love, forgiveness, mercy, compassion, so on and so forth. But we need to give some money, too. You reap what you sow. Do you need me to understand that principle to you? If you ain't sowing no money, you ain't going to reap none from God. Now you might go and still work on the job and receive pay for that. But if you're not sowing any money in God's kingdom, and I hardly ever talk about money, so don't put your feet back now. Hardly ever talk about money. Yeah. If you're not sowing any money into his kingdom, you shouldn't look for him, one, to protect your money. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't look for him to protect your money. And you shouldn't be looking for any money from him, because you hadn't planted the seed. Does it make sense to you? You hadn't planted the seed. I haven't planted the seed. So I'm not looking to sow in no areas where I have, I'm not looking to reap in no areas where I have sown. If all I've been doing is giving folks hell all the week, every day of my life, I need to be looking for hell to come back because that's what I've been sowing, amen. I'm talking better than you saying amen. See, you need to learn to understand. You need to learn to understand the sowing and reaping principle. And it's a principle that's going to be in the world as long as we're in the world. I'm living, glory to God, I'm living in hope and expectations in a lot of areas because I'm sowing in some areas. I'm sowing the seed of the word on the inside of me. That's why I'm expecting change. Man, I wish I was talking to the right folk. The word, the Bible calls it seed. It calls it kingdom seed, seeds that will bring dominion in our lives in different areas. I'm sowing it so that I can rule in some areas of my own life, like a rule over washing the dishes, rule over taking a bath, rule over changing my clothes, rule over self-hygiene, rule over all simple stuff first. Because you want to cast out demons, but you hadn't learned cast out unclean spirits when you hadn't learned how to clean up some areas of your life. Amen. Simplicity. Somebody say simplicity. I'm sowing in areas because I'm expecting. Now, I used to did not expect anything because I didn't understand the sowing and reaping principle. I used to say, I will sow, I will give. I ain't expecting nothing from God. I ain't have good sense. I didn't have good learning. Somebody said good learning. Because you can't sow in good ground and don't get nothing back. Amen. I've sown into my children. Somebody say amen. I've sown good into them, so I'm looking for good. Amen. They might go through a stint of craziness. Somebody say amen. But because I've sown in them, somebody say amen. I'm looking for some good to come out. And I didn't always sow with my words. I sowed with my lifestyle a lot of times. So I'm looking for a return on my investment. You might not want to hear it, but it's good. You looking for your child to be a flower, and all you sowing in them is weed. Now, the Bible said train them up in the way they should go. When they're old, seed time and harvest, seed time and harvest. The time was the young part for the seed to germinate. Now they're old. They're walking in what you planted in them. It had to be some time in the middle of the seed planting, amen. You're looking for instantaneous stuff when you need to be waiting to see what the seed is producing in due season. God, Lord, I didn't know I had to work this hard today. You didn't tell me this. So now when I sow anything, I'm looking for a harvest. I ain't looking for it tomorrow unless God said this is a quick one. Not only do I sow, I water. Somebody say water. Somebody say water. Your plant might die if you don't water it. Your seed might not come to fruition if you don't water it. What does that mean? As it relates to giving, you do more giving. Somebody say more giving. Whether it's mercy, compassion, money, whatever, you do more of that. When you do more of it after the initial planting, you're watering the seed. Oh, my God. You're watering the seed. That's why I read the Bible every day. Because I'm watering the seed. Somebody say watering the seed. And every now and then I get a new seed, so I got to ward it because I'm looking for, please hear me today, I'm looking for a harvest. Okay, you don't understand what harvest is? I'm looking for a return on the seed that I planted. I'm looking to glean something. I'm looking to reap something from the seed I planted. And I ain't going to money you to death. I ain't that preacher. Somebody hollered all right quick. I ain't going to money you to death because I'm not that preacher. But I'm going to teach you what the word says. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I hear this in my spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I got to go find it first because it ain't in my note. But I know it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 because that's what I heard. Yes, sir, I hear you saying that too. Woo-wee! Somebody said, woo-wee! Amen. Somebody said they're ready to go now. Did I hear that? Anybody know what the scripture said? The Lord loves a cheerful giver. Now, nobody don't know what that is, do you? Nobody don't know. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I heard 8 in my spirit, then I heard the scripture. Somebody say amen. The actual word. Somebody say amen. Let's start at verse number 6. Man, I'm sweating today. I had given up the sweating when I was free. Now it has come back. Is it age? Any of y'all ever see spots? Some of you older see spots. They say that's aging. I got to go to the doctor for that. Amen. Because I'm seeing spots. I'm swatting this stuff. And it ain't even there. Amen. I'm just swatting this stuff. It's not there, because it's on my eye. Somebody say on my eye. So I got to go get that checked out. Somebody say amen. Amen. Okay. I say something so that you can look, so you can know what it looks like when it comes to you. Somebody say amen. Listen to this. Paul writes, remember this. Somebody say remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds would get what? But he going to get something. Now, we've looked at that negatively, but we need to turn that around and look at it positively. Somebody say amen. If you sow a little something, you're going to get something. Well, there's mercy, grace, peace, forgiveness, unforgiveness too, yeah. You plant some of that. Apparently, you'll get some of that back too. Okay. The Bible said, be not deceived. God is not what? For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Remember this, a farmer who plants on a few seeds will do what? You ought to give something. Somebody say amen. This is the context of money right here, amen. But the one who plants what? Will get a what? Somebody say a generous crop. I'd like to be on the generous side. I don't want to just get an ear of corn. I want to get a whole crop of it. Somebody say amen. So I try to be generous in my giving. First to the kingdom, say first to the kingdom. And if the Lord tell me to give you something, I'm going to give to you generously too. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Verse number 7. Can I help you today? This kingdom living stuff, y'all. This is kingdom living stuff. Am I talking to the right house? This is living by faith stuff. Just like salvation is living by faith stuff. Just like healing is living by faith stuff. Just like just purely trusting God is living by this. This kingdom stuff. Okay. Now listen, in the Old Testament, we see a lot of tithing. Can I help you today? It's always some issue in the body of Christ about something. It's tithing old or new. Tithing was implemented in the book of Genesis, which means it was implemented before the law was even implemented, amen. Now, when the law was implemented, God had to speak to his folks and make sure they give something to command them to tithe. But tithing came before the law. The law was added. Remember, I taught you that. Somebody say amen. So it's all right to tithe under the new covenant, amen, because it came about before there was a law covenant. Somebody say amen. So stop fighting about that. Give. Is that my time running out? Now, under the new covenant, Paul writes, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we can decide how we want to give. Okay, you missed that. You can choose how you want to give, Daddy. You can choose to give a little, choose to give a lot. But don't expect no more than you're giving. If you choose to give a little, expect a little to come back. But they only gave me $20. Well, maybe you only sold 2 pennies, and you got it back 100-fold. And when you sow, don't look for it tomorrow. Don't look for the return tomorrow. Now, I've heard some instances where some folks was in church, and God told them to give the last $2 that they had. And before they could get home, somebody had blessed them. That was an act of obedience. So you must each decide in your heart. It's hard right here. How much to give? Now don't miss the subject. The subject is giving, not giving. The subject is giving, not giving. Okay. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly. Know what that means? If you don't want to give, don't give. Don't give like somebody twisting your arm, making you to give. It's your choice. And don't give reluctantly or in response to what? There's been a lot of prison giving in the body of Christ. I learned, I learned not to be pressured no more. You can't pressure me into giving. I don't care how many lies you form, you can't pressure me into giving. If I want to give, I get in the line. If I'm convicted by the Holy Ghost, I get in the line. But you're not going to pressure me. Because I know what the Word says. But God loves what? God wants us in our giving to be happy about it. Am I talking to the right house? Ain't come to hear that, Pastor. Verse number 8. Ain't come to hear this. This is the part you ought not to miss. And if it's the Lord will, I close on this because this is, my time is up. He says, and God will what? He will do what? But how does those provisions start? No. About your cheerful giving or about just giving. Somebody say amen. And God will generously provide all you need. But Pastor, follow the flow of the context. Pastor, I can't afford to give. Yes, you can. You can't afford not to give. You can give some time. You can give some talent. You can give some resources. You're sitting up on talent all over the house. And you don't have no money to give, but you can give that talent. Man, y'all making me work hard today. You use that talent, God might put some money in your hand to give. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will what? Somebody say always. What it start with? Tear forgiving. Okay, I'll be a testimony again. I don't never want to look in the pantry, and the pantry ain't got nothing in it, unless we fail to go to the store. Because I give. My barn's supposed to always be filled. Now, sweetheart, I know why I don't like to run out of nothing. I get it before it run out. Somebody say amen, because I give. And the provisions are there for me to get. Now, some of y'all count every dime when you go to the store. I don't count every dime when I go to the store. I need to start counting every dime because stuff going up. Somebody say amen. I just go get it because I know the blessing promise on my life. Somebody say amen. I give so he provides. Somebody say amen. If I spend it all on that WAP, he'll give me some more for the next WAP. I believe this. I can't help if you don't believe it. I've lived this way for 30-plus years. I tell you what, call either one of my children and ask them, have they ever been in lack in our household? And they're going to tell you, no. That ain't nothing here to eat. It's something here to eat. You might not want to thaw it out and cook it, but it's something in here to eat, amen. It's always something in here to eat because God provides for us because we've been obedient to his word. Every time. I drive up to the gas pump, and this testimony, I drive up to, whether it's 218, 318, 418, I fill up. I fill up. I stick the nozzle in there. I ain't trying to do no $10 worth and come back tomorrow. I fill up because God has made me a promise of provision. I fill the thing up. I don't care if it's the utility vehicle or the car. I fill that blame thing up because I have a promise attached to me. Okay, how much it cost? I'm a giver. I'm trying to get something through to you today. Somebody say, I ain't participating in the what? Recession. I ain't participating in the recession. Because God promised me some things. Somebody say, amen. And then somebody was talking to me about what president in office and this, that, and the other. I said, to tell you the truth, I don't care which president had been in office, my lifestyle had not been altered. Because I don't trust in this one or that one. Some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but I trust in the Lord my God. I ain't lying to you. I don't care how they say the economy is, I still give. I still give my first fruits first. Somebody say amen. I don't care what they say the economy look like. I don't cut back on God for nobody. Somebody say amen. Now you can believe me or not believe me. And I give you, this is not bragging. I give you, I don't know the word I'm looking for. I give you, help me, Holy Ghost. I give you permission to take my giving over the last 25 years. Here in this ministry. I give you permission to check. I trust God. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and what? Somebody said plenty left over. To do what with? But it all starts with giving. Giving with the right attitude. Cheerfully. So here's a good question. Where is your faith in giving? Well, where's your faith on giving? Are you passing the test or are you flunking the test? I'm going to go to the pulpit while I'm saying this. I'm just saying what the Lord's telling me to say. You're always wondering why you got hardships when it comes to money. I ain't never got no money, Pastor. What are you giving? I ain't never got no peace, Pastor. What are you giving? Nobody never shows me any compassion. What are you giving? Nobody's never merciful toward me. What are you giving? I still got to pay all my student loans. What are you giving? Because they've released some folks, amen. And I was one of the folks that they released. How's it giving? I hear testimonies all the time. Maybe you don't travel in the same circle that I travel in or read the same books I read. I hear testimonies all the time. Givers, debts have been released. Debts have been, especially student loan debts. How's it giving? See, I start off, you know, in the teaching on faith by teaching us first, God cannot lie. He's not going to lie to us. The Bible says he cannot lie. But whatever he's telling us in his word is true. I know you call everything, that's the truth, man. That dude can play basketball. That's the truth. No, this is the truth right here. This is the truth that will never change. You know, you might have the truth basketball player today, and there'll be another truth basketball player next week. This truth never changes. You know, I told you last week, the Lord said he's making me into a new man. Somebody said change. I wonder, is this the new man that's being presented today? But I don't know what it looks like. I'm looking for it. Somebody anticipating. I'm looking for it. And before you judge me, he made Saul into a new man. How come he can't make me into one? It was instantaneous like change. So whatever you walk away with this with this word, whatever you walk away with from this word today, hopefully you're asking yourself, how's my giving? Or what am I giving? What am I giving? If it takes you as long as it's taking me to come up with an answer, you might not be giving anything or not the right thing. If you got to search your mind back for years to determine what you have gave or what you're giving, you might not be giving nothing. I can look at my children sometime and feel what I've given. And I told y'all some years ago, you played the music so I could shut up. As the Lord gave me liberty to do. Somebody say amen. Yeah. I told y'all years ago, that was a time in my life where I saw something in one of my children that I had planted there. That wasn't very fruitful and that I hated to see. So I had to change what I was planting. If I wanted to change what I was seeing by way of production in my childhood. I don't want to put nobody on the spot. Matthew, I'm going to put you on the spot today. That's my boy. That's my baby boy. We were having a conversation the other day. Your son, your baby son, has become such a mean guy. He used to come in the house and tell his grandmama don't say nothing to him. She used to get angry about that. You know what he does now? Before you get there. Hey, grandmama, how was your day? That comes from what you're planning in. You ask us not to yell. You ask us to talk meekly to them. That's what we see you do. And as a result, it's a quick harvest. We're seeing a meek little boy. He used to be rough around the edges. The teachers love him. The school love him. Y'all, he's 5 years old reading to his class. And the students are like this, because they can't believe he read. This is what you're planning in the boy. And you're not hitting and missing, son. You're consistent in your planting. I want to encourage you to keep on playing good. And hurry up and get out of our face sometime, because we were taught old school. You doing what you believe is right for your children. And man, I'm telling you, it's showing in your child. The same little boy that used to want me to test him, he runs to me and hugs me. In school, they're just amazed. When I come to pick him up, he runs through the whole gym, wide open, and then he just grabbed me around my legs, and they just laugh and smile. This is what's being planted in this child. I was telling my wife the other day, Judah has never been, I didn't mean to call his name, but Judah has never been very affectionate to me. And I used to wonder, okay, why? Because I sure affectionate. Now, if I'm sitting on the sofa, he climbs up on the sofa arm, lay his head on my chest, play with my ear, play with my mustache or my goatee. He shows me affection all the time. Now, I believe that's because of what his dad is putting in him. I told you a couple of weeks ago, you got the grace on you, the father. Not only just your children, but other folks' children do. And what you are planting, and forgive me for putting you on the spot, what you are planting is producing. It's producing. Now, he might not do it today. He just saw me this morning. When he comes out from the back, he might run up to me like he ain't seen me all day. That's what his daddy is planning. I don't know what his mama planning because I'm not around when his mama is planning, but I know what his dad is planning. And I see crop. Giving time, giving talent. And I'm not trying to brag on my grandson. My grandson, 4 years old. Well, he's five now, but he was 4 years old reading like a whip. You can't turn the TV on and it got some words on it unless he gonna tell you what the words say. So you better not have nothing on your phone that's inappropriate and he pick it up because he's going to read it. He's going to sound out the word. He don't know what it says. His dad reads to him every night. So he loves reading. He loves learning. That's what's being planted in him. And I promise you, and it might be for encouraging, I see a quick harvest. Man, I wish somebody would have raised me like you're raising them. My mom and dad raised how they knew to raise. I got my butt whooped on a regular. But just anything. You talk too much. You said the wrong words. What he does is when his children say the wrong thing, he corrects them, gives them the right thing to say. A child ought to be seen and not heard. No, he hears what they say, they correct what they said if it needs to be corrected. How are you going to know to correct anything if you can't see what's wrong or if you can't hear what's wrong? To hell with some of this stuff we've used in the past. And I do mean to hell because it ain't working. But I mean, it's giving back to the devil because that's where it came from. So what are you giving? What are you sowing? Well, my child is so hard-headed, he's a grand rascal. What have you sowed? And I hear the Lord tell them to say one more, at least one more thing. You need to know that your children are listening and looking when you don't even think they are. This is what they, here's the conclusion to the matter. If it's good enough for them, it must be good enough for me. So what are you sowing? This message took a turn, didn't it? What are you giving? Pastor, I don't have no children now. You have grandchildren. And you always want to slap your grandchildren or put them on the step, tell them to shut up, so on and so forth. That needs to stop. I told one of my grandchildren yesterday, no, I wasn't even talking to them. And I said something about shedding up. Somebody just needs to shut up. My grandson told me, he calls me Papa or Papa. This particular time, he says, Papa, That's not nice. He says, Papa, you ought not to say that because that's not nice. I said, and then he said, and I don't like it. If you ever want to get him upset, tell him to shut up. And if you ever want to get him upset in my presence, tell him to shut up, and then I'm going to correct you, not him. Because he's taught not to display that type of behavior. And if your sister tells somebody to shut up, you know that's not right. Quick harvest, quick harvest. I'm trying my best to quit. So what are you planting? What are you planting? Are you spanking them for everything? What are you planting? The Bible said that the child is full of foolishness and the rod drives it out. The rod drives out foolishness. Everything our children do is not foolish. Some stuff they do out of ignorance. And we can correct the ignorance by teaching them or giving them the right thing. Right words, right behavior, right thinking. So what are you sowing? Yes, sir, I hear you. What are you giving? Let us pray. Thank you so much for your word, Lord. It's liberating. It's true, and Lord, it works. Thank you for working it in me. Thank you for working it in others. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Yeah, Lord, I hear you.